Annyeonghaseyo to my South Korean IP friends and to all my IP friends. Today's episode will be delving into an intriguing and unprecedented case of a coffee shop that was ordered to be demolished by a Korean court for copying the design of another coffee shop. So if you work in a real estate company in the construction industry or you are an architect, then you should pay attention to this case. You also kind of reminded me of the 3D monochrome design that went viral 2 years ago. I think one popped up in Abuja and I think in Lagos as well. Everything about the aesthetics, people were intrigued. So fun fact is that this kind of seems like the first demolition request regarding a building, which may make my IP friends to ask me, are buildings copyrightable? Stay with me, stay with me.
IP, IP,
IP,
IP,
IP,
IP,
IP,
IP,
IP.
Welcome to IP Series, home to all things IP related, where I give you the stories, tips, and implications to business and creative decision concerning your intangible assets with real life case study. I am your host, Rita Anwori Chinda. Subscribe and turn on your notification so you don't miss an episode. Cheers, guys.
So, for episode 118, we will explore the legal and practical aspect of protecting the intellectual property of architectural works such as buildings, bridges, landscape, and monuments. We will also discuss the different types of intellectual property rights such as copyright, patent, industrial design, and trademark, and also look at the challenges and opportunities for architects and designers to protect their IPR. Guse Torojabuja, sometime in December of 2019, architect Kwak Hinso of IDM Architects, who happens to be the original designer of the coffee shop in Ginjan, Weyon in Busan, Ginjan County, filed a lawsuit against another architecture company and owner of the cafe in Uslan, alleging copyright infringement and also stating that they violated unfair competition prevention act. Now, this is the part that really intrigued me, not even the copyright aspect, not even the demolition case that we're going to be analyzing. So, issues raised in the lawsuits were: one, the coffee shops were or coffee cafe were located in the same location on a sea coast. Its exterior design shaped with two concrete structures twisted on top of one another. They both had a total floor area of 419 square meters and stood 11 to 12 meters tall in a three-story building. The interior designs were similar as they both had stairs leading to an open space area between the ground floor and the third floor. Their roasting areas, furniture arrangement and balcony positions were also similar. It's also a U-shaped balcony and white glasses at the building's interior. So, I guess we all get the story now, right? Now, looking at this case from the Nigerian aspect, do you think that buildings are copyrighted? But the answer is yes. So if you read section 10 sub 3 of the Copyright Act, it provides that copyright in a work of architecture shall include the exclusive right to control the erection of any building which reproduces the whole or a substantial part of the work either in its original form or in any form recognizably derived from the original, but not the right to control the reconstruction in the same style as the original of a building to which copyright relates. Then you also look at section 14 sub 1 paragraph A, which provides that an author of an architectural work or an author of any eligible work listed under the Copyright Act can claim authorship of his work, which is what Kwak Hing So did. So you can claim authorship in your work, in particular that your authorship is listed as part of the eligible work under the Copyright Act, except when the work is incidentally or accidentally included in a broadcast when reporting current events. So this is like an exception, you know. Then you also have the right to object and seek relief in connection with any distortion, mutilation, or modification of and any derogatory action in relation to your work where such action would be or is prejudicial to your honor or reputation. So I don't think that would really apply here, but section 14 sub 1, which talks about author's moral rights, is what we are going to be looking out for here. Then you have subsection 3, which states that moral rights cannot be transmissible during the life of the author, and upon the author's death, it shall be transmissible by testamentary disposition or by operation of law. And the timeline or the term of duration that the owner of an artistic work in form of an architectural work would last for the duration of the copyright in the work. And under the law for artistic work, it lasts for 70 years after the end of the year in which the author dies. While in Korea, according to a publication I saw online, it listed works of art, architectural works, as eligible work, and then goes ahead to state that the duration of protection of author's economic rights shall continue to subsist during the lifetime of an author until the end of a period of 70 years after the death of the author, unless otherwise provided in the Korean Copyright Act. Also interesting to note that architectural works under the Korean law will include buildings, architectural models and designs. In the case of architectural structure, the reproduction includes carrying out construction of the work in accordance with the design plan. Wow, are you mind blown already? So, reading a publication again on Lexology, the question asked was, are moral rights recognized under Korea? And the answer is yes, the right to make the work public, the right of authorship, and right of integrity are protected as moral rights. Isn't that interesting? Now, I forgot to mention something, and that was when I was talking about term of duration. So now, under the Nigerian Copyright Act, anonymous work and pseudonymous work, whether they are literary, musical, artistic, or which architectural works falls under, now enjoy copyright protection, and they last. The copyright shall subsist until 70 years after the year in which the work was first made available to the public, with the consent of the author. Consent, permission, authorization is something that IP likes to emphasize on. Anything done contrary to this is a total violation of the exclusive rights that the law grants to the author. And then 70 years after the work was created. So if the work was not made available to the public within that time, provided that when the author becomes known, the duration of copyright shall be in accordance with the provision of subsection 1, which is 70 years after the end of the year in which the author dies. Now, in the event where you have collaborators is a joint work. Reference to the death of the author shall be the author who dies last. You get it? Hold on. Then we're going to be looking at exceptions, general exceptions under section 20. So the first one is when you can claim that you are using a work for non-commercial purposes. If it's for private use, it's a parody. I saw one post today on LinkedIn about a trademark parody. What's it called now? Beckland. Yeah. But we're not talking about trademark today. So either it's a satire, a caricature, a non-commercial research and private study for criticism, review, or the reporting of current event. Remember when I was reading when I was reading section 14 talking about the author's moral right, said moral right or not, you can't, you know, enforce your moral rights if the work was accidentally or incidentally included in a broadcast when reporting current events. So here again is a general exception under section 20, listing reporting of current events, subject to the condition that if the use is public, it shall, where practicable, be accompanied by an acknowledgement of the title of the work. So in this scenario, it would be Kwak Hin Soo's architectural design of the coffee shop. And its author, except where the work is incidentally included in a broadcast. See again, emphasis on that. So these exceptions are called fair delay, and it applies to all the eligible work listed under section 9 to 13, which includes literary and artistic works, audiovisual works, sound recording, broadcasts, and musical work. Did I mention that? But yeah, that's about it. Then in an event where there's a dispute that someone is trying to rely on section 20, these are the four factors that the court will consider whether the use was actually fair dealing. One, what was the purpose and character of the use of the architectural work? Was the nature of the work in question, the amount and substantiality of the portion used in relation to the work as a whole, and the effect of the use upon the potential market or the value of the work. So in this case, Kwak Hin Soo was alleging and he was relying on the Anti-Competition Act of South Korea. Also, it's called the Unfair Competition Prevention Act. So I'm going to also talk about the interplay of copyright and anti-competition later on. Yeah, but you know, if you really want to know more about this general exceptions as provided under the law, please take your time to read section 20. So I pushed my research a bit further by, okay, yeah, before I get into that, let's look at paragraph Q for the purpose of reconstruction or reconstructing. So it says use of an artistic work in the form of a building model or a drawing or a plan of a building for the purpose of reconstructing the building and communicating or making available of the work and other materials not subject to purchase, blah blah blah. So there's an exception for, so you have the general exception, then you have the general exception under section 20 sub 1 paragraph Q, and P as well, which talks about to say without prejudice to section 26, which is on special exception for blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled people. The use for the benefit of people with disabilities and of a non-commercial nature to the extent required by the specific disability. Then you also have section 21, sub 1, paragraph 3, which says that act for purpose of instruction or examination. So copyright in a work is not infringed by anything done for the purpose of an examination by way of setting communication, answering a question. So if this case was set in an exam, it's not going to infringe on Kwak Kwak Hae-sul's architectural exclusive rides that he enjoys. Then there is Section 25, Sub 1, which is a special provision for archives, libraries, museums, and galleries. So, Section 1, paragraph A to E. It's a long read, but let's read the first one. It makes make and distribute copies of the work. Make copies of the work in their collection for the purpose of backup or preservation. Make or procure a copy of any missing parts. Then there's section 2 of that same matrix. Copies of work made in whatever format in accordance with this section may be lent to users or used for private study or research on the premise of the institution. So if it's an architectural department in a university, this would apply to you. I would want to think so. So archives, yes. Archives, library, museums, and galleries. Then there is section 28, sub 1 of the Copyright Act, which talks about first ownership of copyright. So in the event where there's no agreement, copyright shall initially vest in the author, which in this case, as we know, is Kwak Hae-sul. Okay. Section 32 now talks about obtaining compulsory license from the Copyright Commission or whichever agency is taxed with copyright related issues in your jurisdiction. So in Nigeria, here is Nigerian copyright. So if you want to get a compulsory license to reproduce and publish work for certain purposes, section 32 has a long list of things that you would, you know, like to consider. I think when I was reading it, I didn't really pay too much attention on whether it applies to... Okay, yes. So it says, where after the expiration of the relevant period from the date of the first publication of an edition of a literary or artistic work. Artistic work, as you already know, includes architectural work. So let's look at the interpretation of artistic work or as provided under the Copyright Act. If you can hear me flipping my book, please bear with me. I'm trying to make sure I get the right thing. Okay, so artistic work includes, irrespective of artistic quality, any of the following: paintings, drawing, etchings, lithographs, woodcuts, engravings and prints, maps, plans, diagrams, work of sculpture, photographs not comprised in an audiovisual work, works of architecture in the form of building models. Then it goes further to define a building to include any fixed structure or a part of a building or a fixed structure. Okay, so I think that should cover this bit. We're going to get into the various type of IP elements that you should consider as an architect. Okay, then we'll look at available remedies, etc. Now, if you are an architect, this is how you can protect your intellectual property rights: by applying the appropriate type of protection in whatever jurisdiction. So because this is a South Korean case, I'm looking at it from the Nigerian aspect now, referring to our laws and sometimes comparing what the provisions of the South Korean Copyright Act provides. Now, depending on the nature and scope of the architectural work, you may explore a multi-layered or multi-tiered IP protection. First on my list is copyright, and I've already listed out what the Nigerian Copyright Act defines in terms of artistic work and buildings, and also the criteria and eligibility requirement, which is that it must be an original expression in a tangible format irrespective of the quality. Then you have patents, which will protect the technical invention or innovations that are novel, useful, and non-obvious, such as new materials, methods, or systems used in architecture. Patents are granted and enforced by national or regional patent offices. So the Korean patent office, the Nigerian patent office, you know, you have to make a formal application, do an examination to determine whether it meets the novelty test. And for copyright, under our new Copyright Act, what the law provides now is that it states under section 87 sub 2 that a person may apply in the prescribed manner to the Copyright Commission to register a work that is eligible for copyright under this act. Then sub 2 provides that the register shall at first instance be evidence. So in an event of a dispute, the register shall be the first instance as evidence of the work and particulars entered in the register, and any extract from the register certified by the Copyright Commission shall be admissible in evidence in all proceedings without further proof or production of the original of the matter certified. So you see, while copyright might be automatic, the law now, you know, advises that you opt for a voluntary registration or deposition to further protect yourself. For instance, in this dispute now, and under the Korean Act, is copyrights can be registered in Korea. The copyright of the work is registered through the MCST by recording the work in the copyright register. You can find that under Article 55 of the South Korean Act. While ours is, as I previously stated, 87 sub 2 and 4. Then we have industrial design. We protect the visual appearance, the ornamental aspect, artistic aspects of the product or object, such as the shape, color. So remember when we're talking about the similarity between the two buildings, said it was a U-shaped balcony, and then it had glasses at the building exterior. Balcony positions, the stairs leading to an open space between the ground, all those things are things that architects may need to consider. They also be required to file separate application if they so wish. If you look at it from the international aspect, you explore the Hague system for international registration of industrial design. Then there's trademark. So it kind of reminds me of this South Korean series I watched when I started watching K-drama about a so they had like a bidding competition, and it was for architects, or what was it called now? Can't remember, but they had to come up with a perfect architectural design for the work. And there was this very famous, let's use Kwak Hee-soo now, because I did a Google search about him, and his portfolio is really fire, you know. So there was this very famous architect that I think he was the most respected person in Korea, and I think he wasn't really in touch with his daughter or some sort, but something shall happen. The daughter had to come back to the house, and because of that bidding process, I think he was part of the judges or something, everyone was looking for a way to get into his house, to know how he built it, to get inspired by his work, you know. And then this guy finally got, you know, talking to the daughter, they became friends, and he eventually had the opportunity to get into the house. And I think at first the dad was skeptical about the relationship. When he found out that the guy was also trying to bid, he wasn't happy, and the girl felt bad, like maybe the guy was trying to use her, but he was like, no, that's not it. Maybe initially that was his plan, but then things changed, he fell in love, blah blah, you know. I love love story, don't mind me. Okay, anyways, so it turns out that when the guy finally submitted his bidding, his designs or model was different, and they asked him the inspiration about it, and he said it was the way someone he cared about liked to feel her apple. That was the design. Like, see creativity, see inspiration, intellectual assets in your head. Like, looking at the way someone feels, you can just come up with a model. So I understand where Kwakyung Soo is coming from in terms of protecting his distinctive and unique design. Trademark will protect the distinctive designs, signs, symbols that will act as a source identifier. If someone sees this building, they'll be like, oh, this looks like Kwakyung Soo's project, you know. But other than that, the name of your architectural company, in this case we have IDMM, and then I don't think they mentioned the other one when I was doing my research, but the name, slogan of the architectural firm or a building, Trump Tower. Trying to remember a couple. I know there was one time I read a case about how I think someone sued because there was a reconstruction going on and they had to use design again. It was an American case. Can't really remember the details and it skipped my mind to do more research on it for you guys. Apologies. Please forgive me. But then trademark are also granted and enforced by national and regional offices, and they also require formal application and examination processes. In order for you to enforce your rights in other jurisdiction, you may need to use a civil, administrative, or criminal remedies available in that country, depending on the nature and extent of the infringement. You may also need to seek help from local authorities, professional associations. So if you're an architect listening to me or in the construction industry, wherever you find yourself, please make sure you are affiliated with your industry people, so that in the event of a dispute, you're not left hanging. You're not asking yourself, why is this happening to me? Why is there nobody out there for me? I don't want to say some things, but yeah, stuff like that, you know. Also, make sure you have a lawyer to help you deal with infringement related issues. Alternatively, you can explore ADR or ODR. ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution Mechanism. ODR, Online Dispute Resolution Mechanism, such as mediation, arbitration, to resolve your disputes and also be able to preserve whatever relationship. But sometimes you shall need to go to court. So if you're going to sue in Nigeria as an architect, your lawyer will file the proceedings at the Federal High Court. Now, before I get into the role that professional association play, and let's look at the available remedies in an architectural building disputes and lessons for everyone. Now, 4 years after Kwakyung Soo filed this dispute in Seoul Western District Court, he got a judgment and the court ordered that the infringing coffee cafe designer should pay 50 million won, equivalent to $37,000. Hold on, let me do the Nigerian maths, the Naira maths. Guys, 50 million won, South Korean won, is equivalent to 30,929,434.99 Nigerian naira. So in summary, damages. You're entitled to damages if you sue. Those are the available remedies. Then I think the interesting thing about the dispute was the demolition and destruction of the infringing property or product, depending on the case. But in this case now, the demolition of the building, the Osan coffee house, the court ordered that it be demolished so that it prevent further infringement, this is seen as resolving architectural dispute in a copyright dispute and anti-competition law implication. Today, you can also include things like injunction. So, if in an event where, let's say the Ulsan Coffee House was still being constructed, the court can order an injunction that they stop all that. Alternatively, you can look at it from the account of profit. So for the fact that you use my design to build for this person, I'm going to ask the court to give me whatever profit you made from, you know, my design. Then the most interesting part for me is the payment of legal fees as a lawyer's fee. Though this is done at the discretion of the court and depending on the circumstance of the case. And then there's apology, just say sorry. So I think there was one time, there's this mediation case that a senior colleague told us where the dispute had been raging for years and all the person wanted was an apology. So sometimes an apology could just, you know, do the trick for you. Then what is the role that professional association play in helping you to protect your intellectual property right? Can they really do much? Not really, but they can go into collaborations with regulatory bodies or agencies, or have a lawyer on their retainer that can help with various services and be of good resource to their members and also the public. They can also educate and inform architects and other construction design professionals about the legal and ethical aspect of intellectual property rights, such as the types of IP, which I previously mentioned, the scope and duration of protection, registration and enforcement procedures, and the best practices and standards for creating and managing intellectual property assets. And they can advocate and lobby. I don't think that's something we do so much of, but I think, again, this will also apply to other creative. They need to start advocating and lobbying for their interests and rights, such as proposing or supporting laws, attending events. So I was privileged to attend the AFRIF event, and kudos to the organizers. I think I have something that I really want to talk about in another post, but there was a session where someone came and was like, oh, there are no artists here. And it's kind of like also my experience where you have events for creatives and you're only seeing, you can count the number of artists that you see there. They're not really interested. So advocating, lobbying is going to help the creative sector. But for today, we're focusing on the architects. We can propose law that would regulate the and also enhance the protection or recognition of architectural work, or opposing on challenging laws and regulations that undermine and threaten the protection and recognition of architectural work, promoting and celebrating the creativity and innovations of architects such as Kwahinsu and other construction and design professionals, such as organizing or sponsoring awards, competition, exhibition. For exhibition, I would say anyone going into exhibitions, oh Lord, anyone going into exhibitions should pay attention to the IP clauses or policies that may be there. If they don't have, they need to enter with caution. Representing and supporting architects and other construction and design professional in the dispute resolution and litigation processes. So I'm not going to talk so much about this, so no one accuses me of being biased, but I already listed dispute resolution mechanisms that you can explore in the event of a dispute. Trying to think of something else. Yeah. So yeah, these are some of the ways that professional association play in protecting the intellectual property rights of architectural works from the Nigerian perspective. Next up, we have how can architects report intellectual property infringements? I mean, first discuss with your lawyer. I think that's the most important thing. If your organization has like an internal dispute resolution board, you can, you know, report the IP infringement to them, ask for their assistance and guidance. What else? I think that basically, but just basically talk to your lawyer, talk to your association, and I and then looking at the example of IPD space in the architectural industry. Not sure. I think this one is number one and most important case or type of dispute where you can report someone for reproducing your design. Another one is the technological evolution of architectural processes and the increasing sophisticated design software, which has changed the manner in which architectural works are created. I think that's something that we need to also consider. Issues as to degree of skill and judgment may arise. So there's the infringement again, which may not require exact copying, but includes copying of a substantial part of the architectural plans. I think that we can consider the trade secret elements when you're talking about architectural work. If you, for instance, and you're going to a competition and you know that someone coming to get access to your design, that should have given you a competitive edge in the competition, you know, all those things, you need to consider that. So you now need to come up with protective measures to ensure that your design does not get into the wrong hands at the end of the day. So I think that sums up IP related disputes for architectural work. And when you hire people, make sure you sign a contract with them that includes a non-disclosure and non-compete clause so that you protect yourself all around. I think I've mentioned this before, that the non-compete clause conversation in some part of the US is being debated because some people think it stifles creativity, you know. But basically, any form of reproduction or modification of architectural design or any unauthorized use of an architectural design can be part of a dispute. So I came across another very interesting angle talking about architecture and copyright, which is the image right and brand angle. And the case study that was, you know, used here is the image of the Auditorio de Tenerife, which was designed by Spanish architect San Diego Calatrava, happens to be protected under trademark law. Isn't that interesting? So imagine that Kwang Hin Soo decided that, okay, everyone has heard about my famous design now that it's viral, that the court ordered the demolition of the other coffee house, and people decide to, oh, they want to take a photograph of it. He has to set out terms of use of the building image, the coffee house image, especially for people that may want to commercialize it, use for commercial purpose. Remember, we talked about the general exception previously. Yeah. So he also turns out that in 2003, the image of Auditorio was registered as a trademark and its use, whether photographic or illustrated, of all or any part, and the use of the logo or any element that defines the same is regulated within the legislation in force. So imagine that this was this auditorium was the Kwang Hin Soo's building. Then we now have the interplay between copyright and anti-competition law. We already know that copyright will protect original works of authorship, such as architectural works. But when does that inspiration of the Kwang Hin Soo's building become a plagiarized work or an infringement? How does this relate to anti-competition law? which is designed specifically to prevent businesses from engaging in anti-competitive practices that harm consumers and stifle innovation. Now, in this case, which is tagged the Copycat Coffee House case, it was found to have violated both copyright and anti-competition law. How? By designing, by copying the design of Kwan Hing So's building, the coffee house was engaging in unfair competition that harmed Kwan Hing So and his firm, IDMM. And at the same time, the coffee house was infringing on Kwan Hing So's copyright of the original design. So this case now highlights why it is very important that we start considering the balance between copyright laws and competition law. So under Korean, they have the Unfair Competition Prevention Act, and we have the Federal Competition and Consumer Protection Act in Nigeria. Then we will also be considering how the demolition of the Copycat Coffee House may have been necessary to protect the original work and prevent anti-competitive practices. However, it also had real-world consequences for the business owner and employees involved. People lost their job, people lost their source of income. We also need to consider it from the mental health angle. Someone's going to get depressed, especially now. Look at it from Nigerian aspect, where buildings are being demolished left, right, center. I think I saw a video the other day, I think two, one stating something about how he's not sleeping under the bridge, and the other one was like an elderly man just demolished his house somewhere in Lagos. So all, just imagine it was a business person. So you have about, let's say, under 50 staffs, you know, and because of this judgment now, they have to pull down the structure. You're thinking, where do I start from? I think as a business person, alternatively, if a cease and desist letter was issued, though, I don't think it was issued in this case, because this case is really, really delicate. I think it would have been best if parties opted for like a mini franchise or some sort of licensing business model. I don't know. But now that people are losing jobs and losing source of income, it kind of breaks my heart, you know. From another angle, let's look at the difference between copyright and competition law. So copyright would basically grants territorial exclusivity to reproduce, distribute, where competition law tries to prevent this territorial exclusivity from stifling competition, market dominance, or innovation. Disputes are on these areas will focus on, for copyright, will focus on exclusive right, while for competition law, will focus on open competition and fair market. You know, but then, in order for this balance to be gotten, both the rights of the copyright owner and the consumers must be recognized within that territory, even though delicate. And it's also important that while balancing copyright law and anti-competition laws, and the need for thoughtful consideration of the impact of these decisions on all parties, it's very important that we take all of that into consideration. As we've come to the end of this episode, I hope you learned more about the legal and practical aspect of protecting your intellectual property as an architect. You also learned about how to resolve disputes, the difference between infringements, plagiarism, importance of consent, permission, authorization, how to prevent other people from stealing your work, and you know, the types of IP, whatever it is that you learned, I hope it was worth it. This is me signing out. Kamsahamnida to all my IP friends, and see you in the next episode. Cheers, guys.